We're not prepared. This is a war. There is a war going on. It's being directed against us. It's coming from China. They initiated it, and we are not fighting back at all. Staggering new numbers to tell you about, showing the massive amounts of fentanyl that are being sent to our country via Mexico from China. China is the origin of these horrendous and deadly drugs. The administration is not fighting back. Why? My guest today says it is time for President Biden to put all financial interests aside and to confront the Chinese and to confront Mexico head on. Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee is here. She is my special guest. And I'll tell you what, she is sounding off on the failure of this administration to protect our nation. Welcome to the program, everyone. I am Trish Regan. Please make sure that you hit that subscribe button. Please make sure you hit the bell so that you get all the reports, all the shows here. I'm here every day, and also over on Apple Podcasts. You can get the full audio version of the show right there. We're brought to you in part today by Legacy Precious Metals. Go to legacypminvestments.com for more information, your free guide to investing in gold or silver. You know, you can actually buy it right there on the website as well. They have a whole new program there. So you can talk to someone at 1-866-589-0560. And you can look at all the products that they sell right there on the website, legacypminvestments.com. Given the situation these days, listen, gold, at least for me, for the long haul, is a good place to be. Getting to the news today, the head of the DEA is elaborating on the drug trafficking triangle aimed at America. China is making the raw materials, the ingredients for fentanyl. It is sending these ingredients to Mexico, and that is where the Jalisco and Sinaloa cartels, two massive and violent Mexican drug cartel operations, that is who gets it and traffics it into the United States right across our very open southern border to eventually kill thousands of Americans, tens of thousands of Americans. And you know what? They're making a ton of money doing this. You hear what I'm saying? This is a massive business. China is sending this massive amount of fentanyl into our country, and we are allowing it. We have not prepared to fight back. It's something that even the Director of Intelligence, Avril Haines, now admits. Listen to her here when she's asked about whether or not we're really going to be able to get control of this fentanyl crisis.
For myself, in terms of the ODNI, our Office of Director of National Intelligence, we have a national intelligence manager that covers this issue and a national intelligence officer. And one of the things that I've learned in the 2 years that I've been there is that we do not have as deep a bench of analysts on these issues, and we are not as, therefore, resourced as we need to be in order to really address this question. That's something that we've been building, and that's something that we need to continue to build.
So our government was caught by surprise. She was caught by surprise. Nobody realized what was really going on. Listen, I'll tell you, history repeats itself, and the Chinese, they don't forget. Think about what we did in the 1800s and the 1700s, actually primarily the British, but the Americans had a hand in this too. What did we do? We managed to create a very big industry out of opium. This is what the opium wars were all about. You had the Brits mixing the opium with tobacco, creating a product that left one third of the Chinese population addicted to this deadly substance. They tried to secure their border. They couldn't. And so the Westerners kept smuggling it in. They call that the humiliation period in Chinese history, and it's part of the propaganda that the CCP uses to try and convince everyone that the West is bad and you should never be reliant on anyone but yourself. Interesting how there's this turn of history, is there not? Would you be surprised to know that the leading cause of death right now among Americans ages 18 to 45, it's not heart disease, it's not cancer, it's not car accidents, it's not COVID. It's fentanyl. According to the CDC, fentanyl is now the leading cause of death for young Americans in this age bracket. Do you know that just 2 milligrams of fentanyl can kill most people? I mean, that's like the equivalent of a couple grains of salt. Think about that. And so while fentanyl is cheap, cheap for the Chinese to make, cheaper than other opioids. It's also extremely easy because of its small size to smuggle over our borders. And on top of that, it's so addictive and it's so deadly. And this is profitable. Profitable for the cartels, profitable for China. And they get the added benefit of being able to attack us from within. Think about that. This is a kind of war. Who needs a military when you can just as easily hurt a population from within? The White House needs to recognize this. You know, years ago, Joe Biden seemed to get it. I want you to take a look here at a younger Joe Biden to hear what he was willing to do back then.
But I'm the guy that suggested in the first national drug strategy that we get the military involved. The military, in fact, can do a very important job by using their radars, by using their technology, by using their ability to identify, for purposes of interdiction, drug trafficking patterns.
Can that guy be in the Oval Office? He's been corrupted by wokeism that has somehow tried to convince you that it would be prejudice to have a border and prejudice to prevent all of these drugs from coming across the border into our country. Come on. That's China too, by the way. These TikTok algorithms, they have a purpose for China. They are there to divide, to distract from the real issue at hand, which is the safety of our country and the safety of our young people. I'm so happy to have back on the program with us today the senator from Tennessee, Senator Marsha Blackburn. Senator, welcome.
I'm delighted to join you. Thank you so much for having me back.
Well, it's always good to talk to you, and we always learn a lot. Right now, the U.S. does not quite have the capability to handle all the fentanyl that's coming across our border by way of China. In fact, April Haynes was just saying, and we just played earlier a clip of her saying that we don't have the capacity. She's kind of surprised that, you know, there aren't enough agents, there aren't enough analysts to deal with this. If we don't have enough people dealing with the fentanyl crisis coming from China, what's the reality and upshot of that?
And the upshot should be that Joe Biden picks up the phone and calls Xi Jinping and says, hey, buddy, you know that $1 trillion trade deficit we had with you last year? That's going to stop if you don't cut it out when it comes to this fentanyl that you are manufacturing and you've buddied up with the cartels. We know what you're doing. You're sending it across our border and it is adversely impacting so many of our communities. And by the way, we're going to run the cartels out of this country. But Joe Biden won't do that because it appears the more we learn that Joe Biden, his family, and Biden Incorporated are compromised on some fronts. So the Chinese Communist Party does not fear him. And they feel like they can go in with Russia, Iran, North Korea. They've created what I call the new axis of evil. They can go into partnership with the cartels when it comes to having someone to distribute this fentanyl, and that this is a way to target our people. And you know, Trish, when you look at what they're doing with the Chinese Communist Party, fentanyl is the number one killer of Americans age 18 to 45. Fentanyl is the fastest growing killer of kids under 18. You also look at what is happening to young girls, especially, but to all children because of TikTok and the garbage that is spewed, the way they are building a virtual you of these children. They're putting them in touch with the drug dealers who are working with the cartels, getting that those drugs from across the border and selling it to these kids. Where do these kids meet these drug dealers? on social media with its TikTok, Snapchat, some of the affiliations they're making in these online games. So
they're destroying us from within. Let's just be very clear here. Senator Blackburn, you are spot on. And there are a lot of people that, oh, you know, they're clutching their pearls and, you know, they're all worried about this, that, and the other. There are people that will laugh at this. Well, there was, I believe, a New York Post reporter that went on TikTok the other day pretending she was a 13-year-old boy to see what kind of stuff she would get fed. The violence, the sexual, you know, pornography-like stuff that she saw. They kept feeding it and feeding it and feeding it and feeding it. And so I was thinking about this. I'm like, gosh, if you really want to destroy a society, why not go straight into the heart? Why not go straight to the youth? You hit them with those images, lots of guns, all of that, and not responsible gun ownership, lots of bad stuff. So you got that on TikTok, algorithms that really pollute the minds of young kids. And you simultaneously make sure that your fentanyl operations are feeding the drug cartels in Mexico that come right in to our country. I mean, it's like a it's like a perfect case study in how to destroy. And you don't even need to go to war.
That's right. And this is what they are trying to do. And they are, every town's a border town, every state a border state right now because of what is happening. And it is heartbreaking to me to see these children that are so adversely impacted, the mental health issues. And, you know, Trish, when you have one girl that has mental health issues and is contemplating suicide on an ongoing basis, what does that do to her circle of friends? It adversely impacts and stresses all of them. And we have heard this story over and over and over and over again from parents, from principals, from classroom teachers, from pediatricians, from psychologists and psychiatrists who are working with these children. And you hit it with the algorithms that are in these social media platforms. If a child goes on and they are viewing something about mental health or depression or suicide or eating disorders, that algorithm feeds them more. It draws them down that path.
And by the way, they have an equivalent of TikTok in China, and you don't see any of this stuff on
that. That's right. It's an educational platform. It's like educational TV. You're right.
So what do we do? I mean, we tried to get rid of it before Donald Trump's administration tried to sell it to Larry Ellison from Oracle. I think that would have been a terrific idea. The deal didn't happen. How do we get rid of this company right now?
Well, there are a couple of things. Number one, Senator Blumenthal and I have bipartisan legislation we've worked on for 3 years now. It is the Kids Online Safety Act. And this is the legislation that would put in place a duty of care and some transparency and responsibilities for the social media platforms. It is past time for this to happen. The second thing is raising that age for kids to be on social media platforms. We as a society have decided that there are certain things that children are not able to do until a certain age. If you go buy a board game, there are recommended ages on that board game. If you are going to go see a movie, there are ratings on that movie. If you have a child who is 14 and wants to drive a car, you say no. You get a permit at 15. You get a license after you turn 16. We've decided that kids shouldn't be able to vote until they're 18 years of old, that they can't buy alcohol and tobacco until they're 21. But when it comes to these online platforms, they are trying to get kids at younger and younger ages and pull them in to these platforms and feed them this garbage. They are robbing our children of their childhood.
You know, there's the mental health issues. And then even this side of things, right, with some of the social media providers that really try and push a very, shall we say, woke agenda, or I just sometimes say, guys, like, really, what are you trying to do? You know, kids barely understand anything about these sexual issues and topics and romance. And I mean, they're kids. Like, come on, just let our kids be kids for a little bit. I want to go back to something that you said in the very beginning that I think is extremely smart and that I'm so disappointed in this administration for not doing. You suggested using all your economic tools. You talked about our trade deficit. There's a way to deal with China. I don't think we're being smart about it. I don't think that we're sanctioning China the way that we should. I don't think that we're playing tough enough when it comes to the economy. And those seem to be the things that are like what I call low-hanging fruit. Do all of that that you can first before you start finding yourself in a conflict over in Taiwan, which increasingly this looks like it's heading towards.
Well, because they do not fear Joe Biden. They see Joe Biden as weak. And the entire axis of evil, as I said, they are trying to expand their reach because they feel like if they're going to be globally dominant by the time we get to the midpoint of the century, that Joe Biden is giving them the running room to do that. I'm terribly worried about this. When you look at the economic posture, Trish, China had a record year. After COVID, after what they're doing, supplying Russia with arms for Ukraine, buddying up with them, after what is happening with fentanyl, we have a record year of trade with China. Well, you know, they are celebrating this. My goodness, they have increased the spending for their military defense complex to 7.2% of their GDP. We are financing their military expansion and growth. And this is something Joe Biden needs to tend to. Of course, he should
be. You don't think he will, though? You think he's compromised? You mentioned that briefly.
I am very concerned about what is going on there because he has not taken an action. How do you have a $1 trillion trade deficit and you do nothing about this? You don't do any sanctions when they are bullying Taiwan and the Philippines, when they are teasing with a spy balloon. Look at what they're doing, floating the spy balloon out. They're active around Hawaii. You look at the Pacific Island nations. They are very concerned about what China is doing to Taiwan. When you talk to NATO, they say that some of the earliest donors to the Common Fund were Japan, Australia, New Zealand. Why did they do that? Because they know China is on the move. And we have a president of the United States who is not stepping up and is not challenging China, who is not sanctioning China, who is not finding a way to reduce this trade deficit, who is not going to these U.S. corporations that are manufacturing in China and saying, you need to be looking at reshoring and nearshoring and working with our allies, not our adversary.
Listen, China, I think globalism is done. I think that COVID proved that, Senator, that you've got to be self-reliant. When you can't even get Clorox wipes because the chemicals made in China and they can't ship it to the U.S., my goodness. I mean, this should have been the wake-up call. And what's most disturbing is clearly we haven't learned anything from it. To your point, we're continuing this trade deficit. And I would just say, you know what? Enough. They need us more than we need them. So let's use the power we have, economic power we have.
That's exactly right. And, you know, you and I could talk for hours on end about this. I've got to scoot back to committee.
Do that and keep up the hard work. We appreciate you joining us today. Senator Marsha Blackburn, thank you so much. My thanks again to Senator Marsha Blackburn. Meanwhile, there's somebody out there that wants to volunteer at the border. He thinks he could do a pretty good job patrolling things because, you know, he's pretty ferocious and all. Don't let that cute personality fool you. I'm telling you, Fluffy is the real deal. Nothing gets by Fluffy. You know, somebody knocks at the door, somebody walks by the house. Fluffy makes himself heard. And nobody wants to mess with him. He is a strong little dog. This little guy is the healthiest little dog because of what I feed him, which is Rough Greens. He takes a supplement every single day. I just sprinkle it right on top of his food. It was created by naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, who cares as much as I do about his dogs. And he's got some big dogs. You can check it out yourself. You can get a free jumpstart trial bag. All you have to do is go to roughgreens, spelled R-U-F-F, greens.com/Trish, roughgreens.com/Trish. Get your free jumpstart trial bag today. All you have to do is cover shipping and see how your dog responds. Maybe you can send your little pup down to the border and start patrolling things there. Anyway, great to have you all here. Remember, we got a whole lot more to discuss. I hope that you have subscribed to the channel. If you haven't, go over there, hit the subscribe button, hit the bell, and I'll see you tomorrow.